It's a Tuesday late afternoon. You're a brand manager for a mid-sized company.
Okay.
You've just spent the last 6 months, maybe even longer, developing a new product launch. You've got the strategy locked in, the packaging is gorgeous, and you've hired a creative agency to produce all the video assets.
And we're talking a lot of assets.
Oh yeah, Instagram reels, TikToks, YouTube pre-rolls, the works. It is a literal flood of content.
Which is, I mean, that's just standard operating procedure these days. You can't just make one TV spot and call it a day anymore.
Exactly. But here's the nightmare scenario. You launch, you've spent the budget, the metrics come back, and they say you got views. But you're lying in bed at night, staring at the ceiling, and this one terrifying question hits you. Did anyone actually see it?
And there's a huge difference between viewable and viewed. Just because it played on a screen while someone was, you know, making a sandwich doesn't mean it registered.
That is the terrifying gap we are diving into today. We're looking at a solution called FlowSam. But honestly, I don't want to frame this as just a tech review.
No, it's more than that.
It's really a story about frustration. It's about a founder who looked at the way the industry measured that attention and basically said, this is broken, it costs way too much, and I'm going to fix it.
It's a classic case of innovation born out of, well, sheer annoyance. The research industry, for a long time, has been a bit of a dinosaur.
A dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's being polite.
Well, think about it. The digital world moves at the speed of light. Trends change in hours. But traditional research, that moves at the speed of a focus group.
Right.
You have to recruit people, get them in a room or maybe a Zoom call, ask them questions, collate the data. By the time you get the results, the meme you were trying to capitalize on is already dead.
Right. And that brings us to the protagonist of today's deep dive. We aren't talking about some kid in a dorm room who thought, hey, AI is cool. This founder was a global marketer. She was the one sitting on the client side writing the checks.
And that context is so vital. She was working on global campaigns. And when you're at that level, the pain of enormous costs for testing is very, very real. She was paying a fortune for results that were simply too slow.
Just too slow to keep up with the volume of content she had to produce.
Exactly.
It's the feeling of being ripped off, isn't it? You're paying premium prices for a service that's acting like it's still 1995.
Right. She looked around and realized that nobody in the research world was actually solving this problem for the modern landscape.
So she decided to solve it herself.
Exactly. She didn't just complain about it. She teamed up with four co-founders and decided to build the technology herself. And that decision to move from buying the service to building the tool is what led to FlowSam. They started building this back in 2018.
Which in AI years is basically ancient history. That's pre-ChatGPT, pre the whole generative boom.
It is. And that head start gave them time to really refine the core technology, which is an AI and computer vision platform designed to predict visual attention.
Okay, I want to pause on that phrase, predictive visual attention. Because that sounds great on a slide deck, but I want to know what it actually means. Is this some kind of magic box? How does a computer know what a human is going to look at?
It's a great question. And we shouldn't just gloss over the AI part.
Yeah.
To really understand how FlowSam works, you have to understand something called biological saliency.
Biological saliency. Okay, break that down for me.
Basically, our brains are hardwired by evolution to notice certain things immediately before we even consciously process them. We notice high contrast, we notice motion.
Faces.
We notice faces, we notice threats.
Right, like if a tiger jumps out of the bushes, I don't need to think, oh, that's a tiger before I look at it. My eyes just snap to it automatically.
Exactly. That is bottom-up attention.
Yeah.
It's totally involuntary. What FlowSam and similar computer vision tools do is they take massive data sets of actual human eye tracking studies. So imagine thousands of people watching thousands of hours of video while wearing special glasses that track their pupils. The AI analyzes all that data and learns the patterns. It learns, oh, when there is a sudden burst of red in the corner, 90% of humans look there.
So it's not guessing, it's simulating a biological reaction based on a huge amount of training data.
Precisely. It's creating a predictive model of the human eye. So when you upload your video to FlowSam, it runs it through this model and generates a heat map that shows you, with a really high probability, where the average human eye will land in the first few seconds.
That sounds incredibly cool, but I have to play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
You mentioned they started this because human research was slow, but, I mean, humans are the ones buying the product. If you remove the people from the testing, aren't you kind of missing the point? Can a simulation really replace a person?
That is the central tension, isn't it? It's the Black Mirror fear. But here's the counter argument. Humans are messy.
We are definitely messy. No argument there.
If you run a focus group on a Monday morning, you might get totally different results than on a Friday afternoon. If the participants are hungry or bored or just trying to be polite to the researcher, their answers get skewed.
Yeah, that's the focus group bias.
Exactly. People often tell you what they think you want to hear or what they think makes them sound smart.
No, yes, I definitely looked at the nutritional information when really they were just staring at the picture of the chocolate cake.
100%. But the eye doesn't lie. The eye moves way too fast for you to lie about it. By using an AI model trained on that raw physiological data, you strip away all that bias. You get a consistent, objective read on the visual physics of your ad.
And because there are no people involved in the actual testing part of your specific ad, it's instant.
It's instant. So you're trading the, let's call it the soul of a focus group for the hard data of biology.
And for the specific problem of did they see my logo, biology is probably a better metric than opinion anyway.
It is.
Okay, let's make this real for the listener. I want to walk through a hypothetical example. Let's say I'm launching a new energy drink. Let's call it Zap.
Zap. Original. I like it.
I know. I'm a branding genius. So I have a 15-second TikTok ad. It opens with a famous influencer, let's say a generic pop star, holding the can of Zap. There's loud music, flashing lights. The pop star is dancing. I upload this to FlowSam. What happens?
Okay. You upload it. The platform processes the visual data, the colors, the movement, the faces. And then within minutes, you get a heat map overlaid on your video. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
You, as a brand manager, you think the ad is about Zap. But the AI might show you a giant red hot spot right on the pop star's face and a cold blue zone on the can of Zap in her hand.
The vampire effect.
Exactly. The celebrity is vampiring all the attention. The viewer is looking at the famous person, not the product. The AI predicts that, say, 95% of visual attention is on the face and only 4% is on the brand.
And if I had run that ad without testing?
You would have paid the influencer $1 million, paid TikTok another million for reach, and gotten zero brand lift because nobody actually noticed the cam.
Ooh, that hurts just hearing it. But with this, I catch that before I launch.
Right. You see the heat map and you go, okay, the face is too distracting. So you go back to the editor. Maybe you zoom in on the can. Maybe you freeze frame the product while the background blurs. You re-upload the new version, test it again instantly, and see if the heat moves to the logo.
It's like spell check, but for visual attention.
That is a perfect analogy. It's visual spell check.
Now, this brings up something about the founder's mission. We talked about her being a global marketer, you know, dealing with big budgets. But usually, these high-tech tools, eye tracking, neuroscience, they're reserved for the Cokes and Nikes of the world.
For sure. They're the only ones with the budget to fly people to a lab.
Right. If you were a small startup, you just had to guess. You couldn't afford a $50,000 research study.
But because FlowSam is automated, because there are no humans to recruit and pay, the cost structure just collapses.
It becomes software as a service, not a big consulting project.
Exactly. And the founder makes this really compelling point about democratization. She believes that every brand, regardless of size, deserves to know if their distinctive assets are being seen.
Distinctive assets? That's a bit of marketing speak. Let's unpack that for the non-marketers listening.
Sure. Distinctive assets are just the visual shortcuts that signal your brand. Think of the McDonald's golden arches, the Coke ribbon, the specific shape of an Absolut vodka bottle.
Things that make you instantly know the brand without even seeing the name.
Right. These are things that when you see them, you immediately trigger the brand in your brain. It's all about building mental availability.
Right. So think of mental availability like a shelf in your brain. When you're thirsty, does the brand Zap immediately fall off that shelf into your conscious thought?
Exactly. And for that to happen, your brain needs to have filed away those visual cues.
Yeah.
If your ad runs and the viewer never visually locks onto the logo or the bottle shape, the file is never created. The ad just washes over them like background noise.
So FlowSam is basically the gatekeeper, making sure that the filing process actually happens.
It verifies the input. Now, it can't guarantee they will like the product. That's still up to your creative team, but it guarantees they saw it.
And for a small brand, that is life or death. If Nike runs a bad ad, they lose some money, but they'll be fine. If a startup burns their entire Q1 budget on an ad where nobody sees the logo,
they might be out of business by Q2. And that's why this democratization aspect is so important. It levels the playing field. It gives the underdog the same kind of data as the giant.
I want to circle back to the no people thing one more time, because I feel like there's a deeper implication here for the whole industry.
There is.
The founder and her team explicitly built this to disrupt the old methods. If this takes off, what happens to the traditional research firms? The ones with the clipboards and the two-way mirrors?
Well, they have to adapt or die. It's the classic innovator's dilemma. The big firms have built their entire business model on selling you people. They sell you the complexity of the process. FlowSam comes along and says, actually, the process is the problem.
It reminds me of what happened to travel agents when Expedia came out. I mean, sure, a luxury travel agent still exists for complicated, high-touch trips, but for booking a simple flight to Chicago, you don't need a human.
Precisely. If you need to understand the deep emotional resonance of a documentary, sure, go hire a human focus group, talk to them about their feelings. But if you just need to know, did they see the logo? Right. Using a human panel is like using a horse and buggy to deliver an email. It's just the wrong tool for this era.
And the founder, coming from the client side, she knew that better than anyone. She knew that good enough data delivered today is infinitely more valuable than perfect data delivered next month.
Speed is the currency of the digital age. The source material emphasizes this over and over. The velocity of content. You're pumping out assets daily. You need a feedback loop that matches that speed.
So we have the tech, we have the speed, we have the price point. It all sounds great, but I want to pivot to the creative versus data debate. Because I have friends who are creative directors, and I know exactly what they would say if I showed them this tool.
Let me guess. You're killing the art.
Exactly. You're designing for a robot. You're turning my beautiful film into a math problem.
Is there a risk here? If we optimize everything for maximum attention, do we just end up with flashing lights and siren noises?
That is the danger of any metric, right? When a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. If you just gamify the system to get a red-hot heat map, yes, you might end up with an epileptic nightmare that grabs attention but just annoys the hell out of the viewer.
Right. I can grab your attention by screaming in your face, but that doesn't mean you want to buy my energy drink.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think the smarter creatives are looking at it differently. Think of it like architecture. You can design the most beautiful building in the world with sweeping curves and glass walls, but you still need a structural engineer to tell you, hey, if you put that pillar there, the roof is going to collapse.
So FlowSam is the structural engineer.
It's the reality check. Mm-hmm. It's saying your story is beautiful, the lighting is moody, the acting is superb, but nobody noticed the product. That doesn't mean you have to ruin the art. It just means you have to tweak the composition. Maybe you move the bottle 3 inches to the left. Maybe you brighten the logo slightly.
It's subtle optimization, not a total rewrite.
And frankly, creatives should love it. Because nothing is more heartbreaking for a creative than making a piece of work that fails. If this tool could prove to the client, look, the data says everyone is looking at the logo, that helps sell the work. It protects the creative idea by proving it works.
That's a really healthy way to look at it. It's not data versus creativity, it's data supporting creativity.
When it's used correctly, yes, it bridges the gap. It speaks the language of the CFO, which is risk reduction, while enabling the goals of the CMO, which is brand growth.
And it all started because one woman sitting in a marketing office just got tired of waiting for results.
She saw the gap. She saw that the dinosaurs weren't evolving. And she, along with her team, built the asteroid.
The asteroid. I love that image.
It fits. It's an extinction-level event for the old, slow, expensive way of doing things.
So let's just recap what we've learned today. We have an industry that was stuck in the past, slow, expensive, totally reliant on human panels.
We have a founder who lived that pain and decided to fix it. She built FlowSam, an AI platform trained on biological eye-tracking data.
And it predicts where humans look with high accuracy, but without the humans.
Right. It's fast, it's affordable, and it's democratizing access to high-end research for brands of all sizes.
And ultimately, it answers the one question that really matters in an attention economy. Is anyone actually looking at what I built?
Because if the answer is no,
then nothing else matters.
You're just shouting into the void.
It's a powerful lesson, a wake-up call for anyone still relying on just gut feel to spend their marketing budget.
The gut is good, but the data is better.
Which brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. We've talked a lot about optimization, about predicting the eye, about making sure the logo is seen. But here's the question I want you to mull over as you scroll through your feed later today.
Go for it.
If we reach a point where every single image, every video, every ad is perfectly optimized by AI to capture our biological attention, what happens to our free will? If the machines know exactly how to hack our brains to make us look, do we ever really choose what we see?
Or are we just reacting?
Or are we just reacting to a perfectly engineered stimulus? Does perfect marketing effectively eliminate the choice to look away?
That is a slightly terrifying thought to end on.
Hey, that's what we call it, the deep dive. We don't just skim the surface.
Indeed. Something to think about next time you find yourself staring at an ad and wondering, why can't I look away?
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you in the next one.